Again, thank you. Thank you to the music department. Thank you, Jenna, for that lovely special music. And good morning, everyone. How many of us here are mothers? Yeah, how many of us here had mothers? Okay, so pretty much we all have something in common, don't we? All of us had an experience with a mother, and today is Mother's Day, and it's the day that we get to honor our mothers or those person or persons who fill that role for us in our lives. Some of us had mothers we'd rather not talk about, but all of us had one. They gave birth to us, and what they did was they gave us the gift of life. My mother taught me so many godly virtues throughout my life. She taught me to pray. I can still hear the words, "You better pray that that comes out of the carpet." And then she taught me about my imagination. Don't do that again or else. And you got to imagine what or else was. Or how about patience, anticipation? Just wait until your father gets home. And she taught me to count at least to three. And she taught me repentance. Don't ever, ever do that again. And she taught me contradiction. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. And she also taught me about the weather. Your room looks like a tornado just went through it. So regardless of what my mother did or didn't do, she taught me a few things, and she gave me the gift of life. Now, some of us are lucky. Some of us in this room are very lucky. We were well nurtured by our mothers, and or some other figure who stood in her place, and our hearts can be filled with gratitude at the wonderful mothering, nurturing that we had. Some of us were not quite that lucky. And here in our community, it's important to remember that we've all had a different experience. No two of us have had the same experience with our parents. And those of us who have been mothers know that perhaps we paddled as fast as we could to do what we could for our children. And whether our experience is one of pain or joy or pride, we get to value that, because this day, here in this place, we're going to talk about the divine mother, the divine feminine. So one thing we hear about women is that women's intuition. Well, I'm here to tell you that intuition is not just for women. It is that feminine aspect within each and every one of us. So as little children, we begin to explore the world. We touch and taste and feel and experiment, don't we? And as we get older and become teenagers, we do that physically as little children. And then as we get older, we get to explore the world with our feelings, because when we're teenagers, your heart's on your sleeve and everything affects you. I can remember I had a lot of emotional roller coasters in those days, a lot of emotional crises. I spent a lot of time in tears, and then I got older, and I still had a few tears, but the experience changed. As I matured, my experiences changed. I began to learn to use the tools of wisdom and the tools of my intellect. Throughout this time, there was a greater inner wisdom, however, waiting for me to discover it. It was there all the time, but it was waiting for me to discover it. And this inner wisdom comes in the form of spiritual guidance. Now, there are many places to find physical, mundane guidance, aren't there? There are in timetables and periodic tables, and there are dictionaries and encyclopedias, and let's not forget Google. In fact, if we go on the internet, there's a 50-50 chance that what we're hearing or reading is true. So we can search in various places to find out things that go on in the physical world. But what about, where do we look for wisdom and for guidance, and the things are the things that you cannot see. Where do we find those? Often, we seek that wisdom and guidance from within, because within each one of us is that divine presence that, as we tune into it, offers us all kinds of answers if we're willing to listen. Whatever you want to call it, God, the Great Spirit, the Divine, it doesn't really matter. Some would describe spiritual intuition, spiritual guidance as intuition, and others would call it communion with God. But how do I find my source of spiritual wisdom? Where do I look for that? Well, there's many practices that we use here at the center. We use our spiritual practices. We use prayer. We use meditation. We use visioning. We go into the silence. We use centering prayer. We go within to find the answers and to listen, to get quiet and to listen. The greater mind, when turned inward, supplies all the right questions and all the right answers, and they're always good if we listen to God, aren't they? The answers are always good when we listen to God. Spirituality is simply living with the intention to realize God in every circumstance of your being. Every single circumstance, we can find God there somewhere. The totality of your life, right to the very end, right to the very end, is where we can find God. To have a better world, we get to go within and look for that, for that divine presence. We get to listen for it. To have a better world, we get to become better people. And we become better people when we rely upon that spiritual guidance to give us information, to give us information to realize God. Now, to realize God means to know God on every level of reality, in every mode, everywhere, in every aspect of God's being. Spirituality can be divine level by level by reality in this way. In physical terms, spirituality is recognizing the miraculous nature of matter and the creative source behind the mystery. You know, we didn't make the birds or the trees, and there they are. In biological terms, spirituality is realizing a divine intelligence underlies all the change and all the creation and all the evolution that we see in life. Everything, everything expresses the divine in order to perfectly express ourselves. And we've said on previous Sundays that if any one of us is missing, then God is not fully expressing itself, is it? In psychological terms, spirituality is discovering within yourself the ultimate source of meaning and happiness, and that's love. In sociological terms, spirituality is giving selfless service to others, and many of us here do that. I can see a couple of faces right from here that do that, that I'm aware of. And it doesn't matter what their race or their creed or their color or their religious beliefs or their country of origin is. It just doesn't matter. We just give of ourselves selflessly. In ecological terms, it is showing respect to the planet, isn't it? It's those of us who recycle and repurpose and have respect for the mineral and the vegetable and the animal kingdom, which are part of us as well. In cosmological terms, it is being one with the universe, in tune with the infinite, flowing with the Tao. In theological terms, spirituality is seeing God in all things, in all events and in all circumstances, to look beyond the appearance, to see that God is there all the time. Unconditional love, seeing all things in this infinite ocean. Someone said something about the ocean earlier. In that infinite ocean of God, all things happen. Ernest Holmes in Science of Mind said, "What we call intuition is God in man revealing to him the realities of being." And interestingly enough, intuition does play a huge role in our life. Steve Jobs called it more powerful than the intellect, that our intuition is more powerful than the intellect. And we don't necessarily know how to put that into words, but intuitively we all know that that is true. Our intuition is more powerful than our intellect. Have any one of you ever experienced a gut feeling? You know that, yeah, that gut feeling, that unconscious something that is talking to us. It is telling us something, and it's not telling us why. It's not telling us how. Sophie Burnham, who wrote The Art of Intuition, says it's the subtle knowing without ever having any idea why you know it. It's different from thinking. It's different from logic or analysis. It's a knowing without knowing. And don't we all have those occasions? I know I have. And if I don't listen to it, if I ignore it, usually I regret it later. You know, don't you have those times, that insight that says, don't do this or you should do that, and you don't, and then you think, I should have listened. I really should have listened. And spirituality is always there. Our intuition is always there. Whether we're aware of it or not, it's always speaking to us. We just need to turn the volume up a little bit. And we don't have to be at a fork in the road wondering, should I do this or should I do that? That little inner voice is talking to us all the time. And most of the time, we're too noisy and too busy to listen to it. Do you hear it? Yeah. Do you pay attention when it speaks to you? Do you live a life that keeps the pathway of intuition unblocked for you? Or do you kind of turn up the tube and zone out and not take that time to be silent and to listen? Inner wisdom speaks quietly. It speaks very quietly with a voice of love and warmth, with a voice of concern, and it will repeat itself as often as necessary. I mean, sometimes you get that message over and over and over again. And don't you have a feeling when it's right? I mean, you know, when that little voice is speaking to you, you have a feeling that it's right. And that's how you know it's your intuition and not something you're just making up in the moment. So what we need to do is to be quiet enough in the present moment to listen, to hear that voice within, that divine mind, which is the source of the seen and the unseen. Ernest Holmes also says in the Science of Mind textbook on page 540, stand forth and speak, spirit within me. Proclaim thy presence. Announce thy course. Declare through me thy wondrous works, and let the children of men hear thy voice. Behold, he maketh all things new. The spirit within speaks the words of truth and life to all. The spirit within me is God. I speak the truth. Wow. The spirit within me is God and I speak the truth. And isn't that something that we all recognize when we stop and listen to that little inner wisdom voice, that intuitive voice that's telling us you need to do this? The number one thing that distinguishes intuitive people from the ones that are not so intuitive is that they listen. They stop and they listen rather than ignore the guidance of their feelings and their intuition. And they take time to be alone, to get in touch with themselves, to get in touch with that voice within. They don't have to be busy all the time. They don't have to be busy all the time. And they are creative. They are creative because they allow that creative source to work through them. And we have to understand that creative doesn't just mean painting pictures or singing. Creativity comes through us in many, many ways. And they do mindfulness practices. It could be meditation, it could be visioning, it could be centering prayer, whatever it is. They have a mindfulness practice that gets them in tune with that inner voice, and they notice things. They notice things. They keep a journal, maybe, or they write it down, they notice those coincidences, those things that happen unexpectedly. They see the connections between the different, the synchronicity between different events. In other words, they tap into their intuition in daily life. And they listen to their bodies. When they have that gut feeling, they listen to it. They don't ignore it. They don't try to turn it off. Well, some of us ignore it, but they don't try to tune it out or turn it off. They listen to that voice within, and they connect deeply with other people. Most intuitive people are empathetic, aren't they? They connect to one another. They know. They know when you're feeling under the weather, or less than whole, or need a little boost, and someone just walks up to you and engages you in conversation because they have this feeling that that's what you need at this very moment. They're empathetic, and they pay attention to their dreams. How many of you here remember your dreams? Do you ever remember your dreams at night when you're dreaming? You receive information that you have blocked during the day. You receive information from that intuitive part of your brain. Sophie Burnham, that author, said if you tune to your dreams, you get a lot of information about how you should live your life. God speaks to you through your dreams. And they enjoy plenty of downtime, these intuitive people. Few things stifle intuition as much as activity, busyness, telephone, email, multitasking, digital information, having to stay in touch all the time, downtime, turn off the phone. You know, someone told me, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the tunes, turn off the phone and be still. I can remember someone telling me when the phone was ringing, just because the phone is ringing doesn't mean you have to answer it. You know, we're like, if it rings, we have to immediately reach for the phone, and we don't have to do that. It's not a requirement. I find that fascinating how we do that. We reach for the phone and let go of negative emotions. Strong emotions can cloud our intuition, can't they? Many of us know when we're feeling out of sorts and we're not ourselves, and stuff just isn't going right. We feel it, we know it, and we're not quite sure how to deal with it. What about if we let go of that busyness and went within and sat and breathed and listened for that intuitive voice? What about if we let go of the negative emotions? Every week, you know, we give you those affirmation cards. How about if you take some of those negative things you're thinking and take and read that affirmation card twice or six or 10 times and know the truth of who you are? I am a divine being. Would you say that with me? I am a divine being. I am divinely guided all the time. I am divinely guided all the time. And that's the truth for each one of us. We are divinely guided all the time if only we will be still and listen to the God within us. If only we will be still. So you have homework for this week. I want you to be a scientist. I mean, isn't that what they call this philosophy, religious science? So I want you to be a scientist, and I want you to experiment and test and prove to yourself what being spiritually guided really feels like. What does it feel like? See if it really makes you feel better. See if releasing those negative emotions and affirming your wholeness actually makes you feel better. I release resistance and I surrender to the voice of God forever whispering my name. I am divinely guided at all times. And doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good when you follow your intuition and things just unfold effortlessly for you? You know, sometimes we move along and we've made up our mind how things should be, and we just won't listen, and things just don't seem to go right for us, do they? And so when we let go of that and we embrace our wholeness and we listen to that still small voice within, life moves much better. And so I'm going to ask you now, before we leave today, I didn't do flowers for you, the feminine within each one of you, the mother God within each one of you, but I did bring you kisses. And so we're going to be passing out kisses when we pass out our affirmation cards today. I just want you to be aware of that, because we do love you and bless you. And we see the divine mother that fills you, as Yogananda said, fills us all with unconditional love this day. So I'd like to ask you now to please join me in prayer.